Start out with a question here asking if you have heard the secret. Actually, the most important secret apparently for human beings to hear. Why? Well, it's supposed to hold the key to success, to human success. It is actually the most important law that you can know, the most important force in the universe. What kind of secret is that? Well, this is a secret that makes claims in this new spiritual, new age philosophy, and is called the law of attraction. The law of attraction. It is a global marketing scheme to sell books, tapes, and personal seminars. It is like a new religion. It's a tremendously large commercial sales approach for the largest wave of New Age philosophy of the 21st century. It's been featured multiple times on Oprah Winfrey, Larry King, CNN, Anderson Cooper, 360s, with multiple airplays. It is being discussed in many newspapers and publications, and very aggressively promoted through public relations campaigns. It is a case of marketing of smoke, attracting more smoke. Question: why would we want to even think or talk about a major pop psychology wave known as The Secret and its law of attraction in a sermon on the Sabbath? Well, it's good to be informed. It's a huge movement. And there's a spiritual overtones to it that to some people make it sound spiritually right in some ways. But the real secret in that is it shows how our adversary, the devil, and the demons can communicate with people today, creating mass psychological ideas and philosophies that directly substitutes a counterfeit for what Jesus Christ called the mysteries, the secrets of the kingdom of God. Satan is so clever at marketing spins from the truth of God, counterfeits. And this would be simply another one of those. So the sermon today, this afternoon, will deal with the real secrets which have been hidden from the world, which God reveals in a very special way to those whom He calls. But before I get into the latter part of the sermon, I just want to, how many of you are just have heard of it? How many of you are aware of it? How many of you watched Oprah? Just show of hands. I'm sure we've heard bits and pieces. And actually, I did a Google search on it, and there's page after page, website after website about it. And there was actually a major article in a recent issue of Newsweek magazine. It's called Decoding the Secret. And this is actually fairly recent, March the 5th of this year, 2007. And written by Jerry Adler. Quote, he said, "Oprah lives by it. Millions are reading it. The latest self-help sensation claims we can change our lives by thinking." And, you know, it is a counterfeit because thinking is important, obviously. We got to think, and as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. But this new thought may be just new marketing. He introduces this article in Newsweek by saying, if you're a woman trying to lose weight, you have your choice of two pieces of advice last week. One from the American Heart Association was to eat more vegetables and exercise an hour a day. The other was from a woman named Rhonda Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E, a former television producer, she's from Australia, who has written what could be called the fastest selling book of its kind in the history of publishing, with 1.75 million copies projected to be printed by March the 2nd. That's a lot of books. My sister and her husband wrote a book. It was on a bestseller list, and I think, I don't know, they sold about 7,000 or so. So you talk about 1.75 million. And just over 3 months, plus 1.5 million DVDs on this topic. And her recommendation to lose weight was to avoid looking at fat people. That's much easier than exercising an hour a day and watching what you eat. Just don't look at fat people. Based on what she calls a law of attraction, that thoughts, good or bad, attract more of whatever they're about. So if you see people who are overweight, do not observe them, she says, but immediately switch your mind to the picture of you in your perfect body and feel it. So if you're having trouble giving up ice cream, maybe you should cut back on a Sopranos instead. That's her advice. And how does she come to all of this? Well, interesting history. She was down and out. She was gone through a marriage breakup. And she was at a low ebb financially. And during that time of life, she discovered a long-neglected book dating from about 1910 called The Science of Getting Rich. In it, she found how to let your thoughts and feelings get you everything you want, and then determined to share it with the world. And she called it, ingenious title because everybody likes it, The Secret. Of course, everybody wants to know a secret. And she has marketed it very, very well. And the film, there's a film actually on it, and the film is built around 24 teachers. The Secret is a law of attraction which holds that you create your own reality through your thoughts. And its explicit claim is that you can manipulate objective physical reality, the numbers in a lottery drawing, the actions of other people who you might not even know that you exist, through your thoughts and through your feelings. Basically, you ask, you believe, you receive. A counterfeit, again, of what Christ says of a prayer, praying in faith. In a dramatized interlude in the film, a young woman oogles a necklace in a window, and the next thing you see in the film is it's around her neck. A child imagining himself with a new bike immediately appears outside his door. I talked to a person who watched it, and he said, actually, later on, the grandfather got on the bike, but it appeared. No need to do a lot of boring chores or get a newspaper out. The universe will provide. And on Oprah claims that she has been living her whole life according to the law of attraction without even knowing it. On an ethical level, and this is, a Cardinal News magazine said, on an ethical level, The Secret appears deplorable. It concerns itself most entirely with a narrow range of middle-class concerns. Houses, cars, vacations, followed by health and relationships, with the rest of humanity a distant sixth. Even some of the major figures in a film confess to uneasiness with the relentless materialism that it promotes. I love The Secret, but I also think it's missing a couple of things, said a metaphysician, Joe Vitale. If I were producing it, I would have added something more about serving others. It's not new. As I said, it goes back, this New Age philosophy. For instance, Phoebus Quimby, widely regarded as a New Thought's founder, he believes all diseases and their cures originated in the mind. Wallace Wattles, best known for his 1910 book, The Science of Getting Rich, a philosophical, spiritual, and ostensibly practical way to becoming wealthy. And there are modern-day proponents of it also. I checked online. There's seminars you can go, courses you can take. There's one I clicked on, the Law of Attraction. Learn the Law of Attraction process now. They take you through and they teach it to you. They say it's the most powerful force in the universe. It's simple in its concept, but practice is necessary. And they express it in various different ways. You are a living magnet. Energy attracts like energy. Whatever you want wants you. What you put out, you get back. What comes around, goes around, and so on. A major factor behind this universal law, they say, is the energy and vibrations of our emotions and feelings. You leave all the details up to the universe. You don't worry about that. Online courses, I clicked on a few of them. Here's one, How to Use the Secret to Create Anything You Want in Life. Another one, Visualize Money, Attract Cash to Your Wallet, Secret Method. That sounds like a pretty good one. Maybe we do that before Holy Day offerings. Some people have some concerns that even are into it, but Bob Proctor explains some of the problems in it. This is another online page. He says, everything that's coming into your life, you are attracting into your life, and is attracted by virtue of the images you're holding in your mind. He asks the question, though, what happens when people put out conflicting intentions? What if the, you know, Detroit and Calgary hockey players all of them get into it and they both put out feelings about scoring goals? What happens? Do babies, children, or animals put out intentions? If a child is abused, does that mean a child intended it in some way? If I intend for my relationship to improve and my spouse does not seem to care, what will happen? And then people have, you know, written some stuff on it from sometimes a religious vantage point to try to debunk it a bit. Here's one I clicked on, printed off, The Secret, Creating One's Reality by Russ Wise, Part 2. And just a couple of excerpts. He said, perhaps the most revealing of the occult connections between, and there is occultism in this stuff, between Rhonda Byron and her stable of master teachers is Esther Hicks, Esther Hicks is actually the wife of the fellow who wrote the book, The Law of Attractions, who channels a non-physical being named Abraham. Here you have this Abraham, like multi-demon, that is channeling stuff to the wife of the author of the book, Law of Attractions. And Hicks is but one thread in the occult pattern that reflects the teachings of The Secret. In Christian circles, this concept is known as name it and claim it. Rhonda and her master teachers, now, you know, I mentioned they get into theology and scriptures. Rhonda and her master teachers are more than willing to give us scriptures to try to make their point. They go to scriptures such as, whatever you ask in prayer believing, you shall receive. It's instructive, though, that Rhonda did not ask her readers to consider James 4 and verse 3, where James says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Another thing the writer brings out, all the things you want are made of energy. They are vibrating. Everything is energy. Another way of stating this truth is to say that as you focus on what you want, you are changing the vibrations of the atom of that thing, and you are causing it to vibrate also. I talked to Doug Lesh in Kelowna last Sabbath. He used to like flying planes. He can't now. He's got shakiness. He said, I'm just going to vibrate a twin-engine otter next to my place where I live in Penticton, and I'll see you next week, and I can fly you around my twin-engine otter. You know, vibrate it there. Byron states that one of the most magnificent teachings of the secret is that You are energy and you cannot be created or destroyed. You know, isn't that what Satan told Adam and Eve? You're not going to die. You can't be destroyed. Energy just changes form, and that means you. The true essence of you, the pure energy of you, has always been and always will be. You can never not be. And, you know, the writer says the Bible offers a different exhortation to the Christians at this juncture. We're told in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5 to destroy arguments, every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive. What for? To the obedience of Christ. Not to get everything for ourselves. Our purpose is not to use our thought life to enhance ourselves, but to bring our thoughts, our lives, into obedience and submission to a holy God. And at the end of the article, it says, the premise that mankind and the impersonal universe, which is kind of a substitute for what we would understand as God, they call it impersonal universe, are interconnected, is widely taught in occultism, in New Age literature. Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. These things come, these things go. One of our elders, Doug Horchak, who is a pastor in Dallas, Texas, looked at some of the material, listened to some of the video clips, and he said, I listened to a 10-minute video, 10-minute audio yesterday morning of Who is Abraham? Who are we? And he gives the website. It's a MP3 download. He said, when listening to her, she clearly is channeling an introduction of a collection of spirit beings that call themselves Abraham. They talk in a plural. The woman is channeling not from God or righteous angels, but fallen ones, from demons. And then finally, you know, this is all just to help us understand a bit, get a fuller picture, because, you know, it's out there, and people are talking about it. They're even holding secret parties, and it's a substitute religion for some. There's also one article I downloaded entitled A New Mask from an Ancient Secret by Barrett Kijos, February 2007. And in that article, he says, Byron tells us in her fast-selling book that she unlocked a secret that has captivated aspiring occultists, conjurers, and magicians for thousands of years. Thousands of years. He went on to say, the secret of attraction has a simple explanation. When we seek forbidden thrills and forces, Satan is always ready to answer. He's there ready to answer. He said the demonic realm, which used to be distant and non-threatening, now crouches closer. Occult books, games, and movies show children how to empower themselves by summoning demons. So we should not be surprised. He says in this article, it does matter what we think and imagine. When we set our minds on self-empowerment and self-focused idolatry, the consequences can be totally devastating. Who knows what went on in the mind of the killer? You know, garbage goes through his mind, but obviously very self-focused, very self-focused. Not healthy thoughts, that's for sure. But, you know, the reason God destroyed the world at the time of Noah was, it says in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 5, God saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So the thought processes were even going haywire. And they were going totally off track. The writer also says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with power, signs, lying wonders, and with unrighteous deception among those who perish because they do not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. This is quoting from 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 to 12, by the way. He said, for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they may be all condemned who do not believe the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. So, again, a lot of material out there. But, again, good to be aware, good to be informed. But there's another book that a few books. But as far as a book written by an individual that I think captures the true essence of secrets a lot more accurately than the one I've been talking about. Actually, a lot of you have it in your bookshelves. And here it is. I brought it along. Called Mystery of the Ages. And the book addresses secrets. In the jacket, it says, this is written by Mr. Armstrong, written in 1985. He said, today man is mystified by his inability to solve his problems, to find answers to the perplexing questions about himself and the world he inhabits. The world about us is a mystery. We ourselves are a mystery. Who and what is man? What is the purpose of life? What is the purpose of human existence? And then he talked about, it talks about his own personal study. And it says he found that the mysteries that have been perplexing human beings were long ago revealed by the one supreme authority of all knowledge, but in a coded message, not allowed to be decoded and revealed to the world to hear, he said, until now. These basic revealed truths have been kept a mystery in that book, and that is one at the world's, which is the world's number one bestseller, and yet least understood. It's a mystery. And it said Mr. Armstrong discovered the Bible to be a coded book with answers to the paramount mysteries confronting all of humanity. He found this code was not intended to be clearly understood until our day in this crisis period in the latter half of the 20th century. He learned that the Bible is like a jigsaw puzzle, thousands of pieces that need putting together, and the pieces will fit together in only one way. This present book puts many of the pieces of the great puzzle together. And then, in the book, he goes through seven mysteries revealed. Mystery one, who and what is God? You know, that's a mystery. There's a lot of confusion about that. The mystery of angels and evil spirits. Sermon topics alone. The mystery of man. What is man? What's his purpose? The mystery of civilization. The mystery of Israel. The mystery of the church. The mystery of the kingdom of God. And the rest of the book is devoted to that, which I won't take the time to go through. But I say that it addresses secrets in a lot more accurate way. Let's go to a few scriptures, because Christ talked about secrets. Depends which translation. I brought along my King James, because the new King James is still being bound. I found a book boundary in Kelowna. I haven't picked it up yet. It's all falling apart. But let's go to Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 13. Just one parable. Christ spoke in parables a lot, didn't he? And this is probably one of the more best-known chapters regarding his parables. And verse 1, it says, the same day Jesus went out of the house. So they've been sitting in the house and sat by the seaside. So Christ taught all over the place. And a lot of times he taught outdoors. And great multitudes were gathered together so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things unto them in parables. And then the one that follows is the parable of the sower, which, you know, we're all familiar with. And then, if we jump ahead, verse 10, disciples came and said, "Why are you speaking like this? You're speaking in mysteries. You're speaking in parables. There's hidden meanings there. Why can't I just be blunt?" And he said to them privately, he said, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to them it is not given." It's a secret that some know and others don't. So he taught privately to his disciples, and to the public he taught in an interesting way, because they came and heard him and they didn't get the full content of what he was saying until later. But verse 12, "For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whoever has not, from him shall be taken away that which he has. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." He did not want them to understand at that time. "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you will hear, he said, and shall not understand. And seeing, he says, you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, they should understand with their heart, they should be converted, and I should heal them." He didn't want that. It's a mystery. The Bible is a coded book. But he said to his disciples, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Do we appreciate what we take for granted? The awareness, the knowledge of God's truth, that to the world, by and large, is a mystery. It's a secret. He said, verse 17, "For truly I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things that you see, have not seen them, and to hear the things which you hear, and have not heard them." Verse 34 of the same chapter, and verse 35. It says, this follows after a series of parables. He said, "All these things spoke Jesus unto the multitudes in parables. And without a parable spoke he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." Christ came talking about secrets. And it's a fascinating book. Let's go to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. He addresses a secret, an important one, and that is what happens after death. There's a lot of confusion, a lot of theories. There's a lot of darkness and blackness about the topic and the understanding of it. To us, it seems so clear. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, he says, "Behold, I will show you a mystery." I think the NIV says secret. "We shall not all be all sleep. We shall all be changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed." The resurrection is a secret. It's a mystery. How many people understand the resurrection today, even in Christianity? Not very many. Let's go to Revelation chapter 10 and verse 7. Revelation 10 and verse 7. "The The Bible says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he has declared to his servants the prophets. That's when the decoding really begins to unfold, when Christ returns. Let's go to Ephesians 6, verses 18 and 19. Ephesians 6, 18 and 19. Here's instruction, encouragement to pray. You know, pray always with prayer and supplication, with perseverance. And he says to him, verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, therefore I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The gospel message is a mystery. You know, typical, grew up in a Christian culture. I didn't know what the gospel was until I started learning about it on a radio program back in the 60s. The gospel of the kingdom of God. And I learned that the kingdom of God has a territory. It has a king. It has subjects. It has laws. It has governance. It will be a literal kingdom. The purpose of human existence is a mystery. Why are we born? The understanding that we're here to build godly character, that we're here to conform to Christ. And it's interesting, this is totally opposite to what is being taught with the law of attraction. We're here to conform to Christ, not to our inner man. If we try to conform to our inner man, the Bible says the mind is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. The mind is hostile toward God. It's not within man that leads to direct his steps. We're put here to be born into the kingdom of God through a resurrection from the dead, once we have built holy, righteous, godly character. And Paul summarizes it. It's a mystery. He puts it that way in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. He has the introduction. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And again, written to converted people, part of the church of God, to the saints. That's who he's directed to. He's talking to converted people. He says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. What did God determine before the foundation of the world? He determined that he would have a people, a church, a group of called out ones. He determined that Christ would be the Savior. He determined that this group of called out ones would have to have holy, righteous, godly character. That was determined from the foundation of the world. That, he said, we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestined us unto this, it should be the sonship of children, by Jesus Christ to himself. Sonship. That means a birth. That means a family. According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he has made us acceptable in the beloved, in whom we have redemption, verse 7, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. According to this is talk about the riches of his grace. Spiritual riches. It's a part of the mystery. There are riches, but they're spiritual riches, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us, verse 9, the mystery of His will. What's that? The purpose of human existence. That's God's will. According to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. So, you know, there was a will, there's a testament, there's a death, there's an inheritance. What's that? Eternal life, sonship. Being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His will. The we, referring to the Jews, should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom you, the Ephesians, the Gentiles, also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. So a beautiful summary in some ways of the secret of the purpose of human existence. But it's a mystery. This book is a book of secrets from Genesis to Revelation to the world by and large. A couple of Sabbaths ago, I mentioned, I quoted from Newsweek, religious section, March 12, 2007. A professor from Boston University, this guy is apparently a genius, very brilliant, Stephen Prothero. He is a world religious scholar. And this month, Harper San Francisco will publish his new book entitled Religious Literacy. And he is appalled at the lack of understanding of the Bible in North America. He said, in spite of the fact that more than 90% of Americans say they believe in God, only a tiny portion of them know a thing about religion. When he began teaching college courses 17 years ago, he discovered that very few of his students could name the authors of the Christian Gospels. You know, our 2-year-old kids know them, hopefully. Almost no one could name the first 5 books of the Hebrew Bible. And he advocates that religion should be taught in public schools. And it should be a requirement in university. So, because this is the basis of so much that goes on in the world today. It's not unusual. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 29. It's Isaiah 29. Verse 10, it says, for the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, has closed your eyes. Prophets and your rulers, your seers, has He covered. How? Spiritually. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. And it's interesting, in the book, The Secret, there's a seal on there, a wax seal on the cover. That is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, is saying, read this, I pray you. And he says, I cannot, for it is sealed. And a book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray you. He says, I'm not learned. Therefore, God says, as His people draw near to me with their heart, or their mouth, their lips honor me, but I remove their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. He talks about doing a marvelous work. I got an email from one individual, went to a family function in a fairly lively congregation, and he was totally blown away what goes on sometimes in the name of religion. And I said, well, maybe it helps you count your blessings, realize what you have. But let's go to Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Matthew 11, 25 and 26. Jesus communicating with his father. It says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and of earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent. This is spiritual truth. And you have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seems good in your sight. You see the history of the people of God and the understanding that they have spiritually. It's mind-boggling. I read in church history about some young kids stymied theologians with their responses. This is during the time of the Waldensians and Peter Waldo and so on. And the Bible knowledge that they have. David said that he has more understanding than his teachers because he keeps God's law. Let's go to Mark chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Mark 4, verses 1 and 2. And again, I'm talking about the, you know, not all the understanding of all the technical stuff, because there are a lot of people who understand technical stuff in great detail. But I'm talking about putting all the pieces of the jigsaw together and having the understanding and the comprehension. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, as he began to teach by the seaside, there were gathered unto him a great multitude. And he entered into ships, sat on the sea. The whole multitude was by the land. He taught them many things by parables. And then he said unto them, and he said unto them in this doctrine. And then the parable follows. Let's go to verse 10. And then when he was alone, and they were about him with the 12, they asked of the parable. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them which are without, all these things are done in parables. Seeing they may see and not perceive. So there's a level of comprehension and understanding, but it's not the full package. The light really doesn't go on. The operating system partly works. It's just like, I thought of the analogy. I have Bible software. I'm sure a lot of you have Bible software on your computers. And years ago, I got used to it. I like it. I got QuickVerse. And, you know, you load up all the disks. Initially, installation disks, when I got it, was about, I think, 5 disks, CDs. And tons and tons and tons of stuff on there. And, you know, when you buy the package, you get the essentials, the Bible translations and some of the commentaries. But the majority of stuff you load on there is locked. You can't access it. It's locked. It's there, but, you know, you can look at it, you know, look at the titles. And the way you unlock it is you have to pay some money and get a key, right, to unlock them. Depends what you want to get. It's just like my computer crashed and burned. I left it, went back. Yeah, it was off. Kept trying to reboot it. Nothing happened, no power. And finally, I didn't know what to do. I took it to some technicians. They said, well, you're, hate to tell you, but your power supply crashed. As Dell, we don't have power supply. So I said, you know, you should probably get a new one anyway, 6 years old. I said, no, I got a lot of stuff on there. And I hadn't backed up for a while. So I ordered a new power supply from Dell. Took a couple of weeks. And put it in myself. Still nothing. Took it back there. He looked at it. Said, well, we have to tell you, but your motherboard is shot. The power supply took your motherboard. That's after $100. Gulp. So ended up getting a refurbished computer just on the cloud there. And finally yesterday got everything, you know, started to put everything back in, which is tedious. And then I just paid for Norton antivirus, and I've already paid for it, so I had to call their helpline and get a subscription key to, or whatever it was, to be able to put it back on a computer. What I'm saying is that things have to, you know, unlock. You have to put the key in there. And God has to put the key in our minds through His Holy Spirit Because it's all there. Wow, I didn't see that before. Why didn't I see it before? It's like he gives you the key, unlocks our understanding through his Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 7. He said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The wisdom of God in a mystery. Even a hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. What a marvelous God to write everything in the Bible. It's all there, and yet not have people see it. That's, I don't think I could ever fathom writing something like that. Because it's spiritual. There's a spirit essence to God's word. Verse 8, which none of the princesses of the world know, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither enter the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. So there are rewards, and they're mind-boggling, but they're spiritual. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Scientific, scholarly research can be great, but all the research in the world, if there's not the conviction, understanding through God's Holy Spirit, won't even lead you to keep the Sabbath. A simple thing that seems so simple to us. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? You know, the spirit of man that gives us human intellect. Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. So spiritual things, it takes God's Holy Spirit. And he said, verse 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Again, I'm talking about the full package. All the pieces together of the jigsaw. For a complete picture. Just a few more verses here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3. Starting in verse 1, it says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, he was in jail, he wrote from jail. If you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given unto me, to you word, how that by revelation. And Paul was a scholar, he had a PhD. He was taught at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a recognized Jewish rabbi, authority. Yet he didn't get it till he was converted. Didn't make sense to him. In fact, he was killing people who believed it. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy prophets, apostles and prophets by the Spirit. There has to be God's Spirit. That the Gentiles, and that's part of the mystery, the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. In verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. He devoted the rest of his life to expounding the mysteries of the gospel, Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God. And, you know, our predecessor that that God used to establish an organization that we have our roots to, was led to understand some of these mysteries, the first one being the Sabbath through his wife. In conclusion, just a few concluding remarks. If we want the real secrets, the secrets that count, they're found in the Bible. And Christ has to reveal them to us through His Holy Spirit. That has to come through God's calling. And a part of the calling leads to our repentance. And our repentance leads to our obedience to the law of God. Because you cannot have a complete understanding without obedience. What does God do? If he has perfect understanding, God grants him perfect understanding, but he won't obey. Not much you can do. They become candidates for the lake of fire. So for the good of individuals, God withholds understanding until the right time. It says, a good understanding have they who do his commandments. And I don't know about you, but my calling is I began to do things, then I began to understand them. Just like for how many years did Mr. and Mrs. Armstrong keep the holy days before they began to finally understand their purpose and meaning? And ultimately, it brings every success that fills that void. And through the process, we build godly character, making right choices, growing in the fruits of God's Spirit. We renounce the culture of selfishness and get. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the deceitfulness of riches, which this New Age is really into. Not renouncing it, but going after it. Hog wild. We grow. We overcome. We love God. We love our neighbor. We lay down our lives as living sacrifices. Wonderful example. You can always find something positive of the university professor, Virginia Tech, in his 70s, survivor of Auschwitz. What did he do? He went to the victim instead of running away from him. He kept the door shut so that they could escape, jump out the windows before he himself got shot. He did the right thing. We resist Satan. We resist his lies, his temptations. And all the shortcuts that he throws, that he has in there, just like on a computer, we have shortcuts. We don't have to go manually find the programs, a shortcut. And he has all these on our screen, the shortcuts to happiness. But they end up not getting you, getting us in the long run to where we need to be to find happiness. Two more scriptures, Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 to 4. Colossians 2, verses 2 to 4. Middle of a thought here, he says, that their heart may be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's where the true mysteries are hid, not in some ethereal universe. God is energy. Everything comes from Him. And finally, in Romans 16, 24 to 26. Romans 16, 24 to 26. He said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And then there's an afterthought that was added later that some figure maybe should be at the end of chapter 14. But it says, now to him that is able, that is of the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandments of the everlasting God, who made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God, only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever and ever. And he has another amen. So it's a good way to conclude.